Canto 3, Chapter 5. Vidura talks with Maitreya. Sri Shuka said, at the source of the celestial river, the Ganges, Vidura, the best among the Kurus who had come closer to the Infallible One, approached Maitreya Muni sitting there, whose knowledge was fathomless. With a perfect respect, he, satisfied about his transcendental qualities, politely asked him questions. Vidura said, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities, but because of those activities one never finds satisfaction or becomes happy. On the contrary, one rather becomes unhappy that way. Please, O Great One, kindly enlighten us on what would be the right course in this matter. The great souls, who are of sacrifice, wander around for the sake of the Lord of the Three Worlds. They do this out of compassion for the common man who has turned his face away from Krishna and who, under the influence of the material world, is always unhappy in his lack of dharma. Therefore, O greatest among the saints, please instruct me on the path favorable for perfectly serving the Supreme Lord who, residing in the heart of the living beings, bestows upon the unalloyed devotee the knowledge of the basic principles, the truth by which he learns the classical wisdom, the Vedic knowledge. What does the self-sufficient Supreme Lord and ruler of the three worlds all do when he, despite being desireless, accepts it to be incarnated in different forms to regulate the maintenance of the created universe? How can he, who withdraws in the ether to lie down and do nothing at the basis of the universe as the one Lord of unification, as the one and only original master, then again have an active existence by entering it in the form of many different appearances, avatars? Why is it that, in spite of time and again hearing about the auspicious nectarian characteristics of the Lord, our minds never seem to have enough of the pastimes that he, for the welfare of the twice-born souls, the cows and the devotees, performs in the transcendental activities of his different incarnations? What are the different principles on the basis of which the Lord of all Lords evolved the different rulers and their higher and lower worlds, wherein, as is known, all classes of beings are differently occupied? And please describe to us, O chief among the Brahmins, how the creator of the universe, Narayana, the self-sufficient Lord, the path of man, has arranged for all the different forms, engagements and dispersed cultures of the incarnated souls. O fortunate one, from the mouth of Vyasadeva, I repeatedly heard about the higher and lower status of these occupations, but without the nectar of the talks about Krishna, I am little satisfied about these matters and the happiness derived from them. Who can get enough of the stories about him whose feet constitute the places of pilgrimage, about him who in society is worshipped by the great devotees? When these stories enter someone's ears, they, because of the love they bestow, cut the ties of affection a person has with his family. Your friend, sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, has described the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord in the Mahabharata. That book is only there to draw the attention of people through their attraction for worldly topics to the stories of the Lord. The weight of that belief gradually brings about indifference for other matters. He who constantly remembers the Lord's feet has achieved the bliss that without delay vanquishes all miseries. I pity all those pitiable poor souls who, out of touch with the divinity of time, in their ignorant sinfulness have turned themselves away from the stories about the Lord and waste their lives with useless philosophical exercises, imaginary purposes, and a diversity of rituals. O Maitreya, friend of the distressed, you who bestow the happiness, please describe therefore, for the promotion of our well-being, of all topics the essence, the talks about the Lord that, like the nectar of flowers, constitute the praise of all holy places. Please tell me everything about the transcendental superhuman activities accomplished by the Lord in His, with all potencies equipped, embodiments for the sake of a perfect grip on the maintenance and creation of His universe. Sri Shuka said, the great sage, His Lordship Maitreya, thus as requested, greatly honored Vidura by giving an exposition on these matters for the ultimate welfare of all. Sri Maitreya said, my blessings, O good one, O you whose mind is constantly fixed upon the Lord beyond the senses, your questioning me for the sake of all is proof of the goodness of your mercy to broadcast the glories of the soul in this world. Dear Vidura, I am not surprised that you, who accepted the Supreme Personality, our Lord, without any deviation of thought, have asked me these questions, for you were born from the semen of Vyasa. Because of a curse of the powerful sage Mandavya Muni, you have taken birth from the maidservant of the brother and the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, as the incarnation of Yamaraj, the controller of death. Your goodness is recognized as one of the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. Upon his return to his abode, he ordered me to instruct you in spiritual knowledge. Therefore, I will now, for you, systematically describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord for the sake of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the universe that so enormously has unfolded because of his wonderful internal potency. Prior to the creation of the universe, the Supreme Lord, the Self and Master of the living beings, existed as one without a second. It was His wish, then, that the individual soul, with a vision of its own and different characteristics, was merged in Himself. Being nothing of that all, He, the Seer, could not discern anything objective at the time. As the single controller present, He, with his inner potency manifested, but with his expansions and his material potency not manifested, felt as if he did not exist. That what he, as the perfect seer, sees is energy characterized by cause and effect. O fortunate one, this energy with which the Almighty has built this world is called Maya, illusory, bewildering. With the effect of eternal time upon the three modes of this illusory energy, the Supreme Being in the Beyond generated the virility, the valor, the manliness, the power, by means of the person or the Purusha as a plenary expansion of Himself. From the unmanifested, then, by the interaction of time, came about the Mahatattva, the complete of the Supreme, the Cosmic Intelligence. This self of discernment, seated in the physical self, dispels the ignorance and makes the universe clearly visible. That cosmic intelligence, thus being a part of or subjected to guna, kala and jivatma, the material qualities, time and the individual self, transformed itself within the range of sight of the personality of Godhead, into the individuality of all the different life forms of this universe with their desire to procreate, to continue their identification and karma. The Mahatattva, transforming into the material reality of ego consciousness, manifests itself in terms of cause, effect and doer. Thus, we have three kinds of ego that constitute a reflection in the mind of the personal self, the material elements and sentience, respectively, brilliance, sattva, ignorance, tamas and variability, rajas. With the principle of the doer, the variability of the ego, a transformation of the mind is brought about that, in its emotionality, passion and in association with all the gods, ruling by this principle, constitutes the basis of the material knowledge concerning the phenomenal world. And in the brilliance, the light with one's senses, the spiritual knowledge, goodness, dominates with the karma. In ignorance, tamas, one arrives at the realization of the subtle sense objects, of imagined sounds and images, to which the ether, their medium, constitutes the characteristic of the supersoul. Material energy is a partial local mixture of time, the time of expanding and contracting. The Supreme Lord, glancing this over from the ether, thus being contacted, created the transformation of that touch in the form of air, gases. The air, also transformed by the extremely powerful ether, gave, in contraction, rise to the form of the light, of the fire of the sun and the stars, and the bioelectricity of sense perception by which the world is perceived. With the interaction of air and light, fire, there was, with the glance of the Lord of the ether, mixing time with the external energy, a transformation that created water in combination with its taste. With the partly local uniting of the material energy with eternal time, the by the light produced water that was thus created as a consequence of the transformation of the Supreme Spirit of God, cleansing over the earth, led to the creation of the quality of smell. O gentle one, from the ether onwards, all the material elements and the great number of their superior and inferior qualities, one after the other, are known because of their association with the original Supreme One. The gods, ruling over all these material elements, are all part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, embodied in the time-bound energy as partial aspects. They fail in their personal duties and express their honest feelings for the Lord. The gods said, "We offer our obeisances at your lotus feet, O Lord. In distress we surrender to them, because they are the protecting umbrella that offers all the great sages shelter who vigorously, fully broke with all the great miseries of material life. O Father, because of the fact that in this material world, O Lord, the individual souls are always afflicted by the three miseries as caused by oneself, by others, and by nature, they are never happy, but attaining your true self, O Supreme Personality, they reach the shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, granting all knowledge. At every step, taking to the shelter of the place of pilgrimage of your feet, the great sages, who on the wings of the Vedic hymns with a clear mind search for your lotus-like face, find their shelter at the best of all rivers, the Ganges, that liberates from the reactions to sin." The meditation that with belief, simply hearing, and devotion cleanses the heart with the strength of the knowledge of detachment will motivate those who thus found peace to head for the sanctuary of your lotus feet. Let us all seek the shelter of the lotus feet of you who assumed the forms of the avatars for the sake of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the universe. O Lord, they constitute the refuge that awards the courage of the devotees with remembrance. Because the people get entangled and are thus of the material body with a mentality of I and mine, they are immersed in an undesirable eagerness. As a consequence, they see themselves far removed from you, even though you are present in their bodies. Let us therefore worship your lotus feet, O Lord. Under the influence of the material world, your feet cannot be seen by those who, by their attachment to sense perception, became alienated from the eternal vision, O Supreme One. But, O Greatness, for those who do have the inner vision, there are the views of the pastimes of your divine activities. O Lord, they who are seriously committed, simply by drinking the nectar of the talks, attain the full maturity of devotional service. They attain the true meaning of renunciation, the intelligence by which one quickly achieves the spiritual sphere where foolishness and indolence come to an end, Vaikuntha. Also for others of transcendental realization in yoga, the method by which one conquers the very powerful material world, you are the one pacifying original person to embark on. But that is a thing hard to accomplish for them, while such is not the case for those of service unto you. O original Lord, for that reason we are all much obliged, since we, for the sake of the creation of the world, one after the other, received their life, and we thereby in the past were separated by what we did according to the three modes of nature, we were caught in the network of our own pleasures and failed to answer your love. O unborn one, direct us in making our offerings at the right time. Thus we can share our meals, and can also all other living beings have their sustenance, so that we, with our offerings of food, undisturbed, may enjoy our meal. You are of us, the gods, and the other beings evolved, the one unique, immutable, primal person. O Lord, although you are unborn, you are the cause of the gunas and the karma with the material energy, as seed sown in the womb for begetting all species. O Supreme Soul, tell us what we, who were all created from and for the totality of the cosmos, should do for you, and in particular, grant us the vision of your personal plan. Please grant us the ability, O Lord, to work and act according to your special mercy for us, in the form of the status orientations and their transcendence.